What's good, everyone? Matt here from UK Nets fans, and I'm joined as ever by Adam McConaughey for another episode of BK to UK, the British Brooklyn Nets podcast. Today is Tuesday, the 1st of August, and we're chatting about Ben Simmons being back to full health, some hot takes or some not takes, and as ever, dipping into the mailbag. Make sure you're following us on Twitter and Instagram at UK Nets Fans, and check us out on YouTube where you can catch us live and watch back all of our episodes. But with that out the way, let's get into it. Obviously, it's been a long off season with Sean Marks and Jacque Vaughn, and more recently Spencer Dinwiddie and Mikal Bridges, all talking positively about Ben Simmons and how all the way back he is. But now we've heard it from a source close to the man himself. So Mark Spears of ESPN has quoted a source close to Ben Simmons saying he is in the final stage of prep for the season and is as healthy as he's ever been since his last year in Philly, which, you know, when he was an all-star. So on Wednesday, Simmons agent Bernie Lee told some Sirius XM radio that the expectation is that Ben Simmons will be ready for the beginning of training camp on October the 3rd in Brooklyn. He goes on to quote him saying, "The expectation is that he'll be able to start the season day one of training camp and definitely the regular season without any limitations in any way." Then the next day, Ian Begley of SNY quoted league sources saying that Simmons is working solely on skill work and conditioning. So, you know, just sounds like he's all good. And then finally, talking to Malika Andrews on ESPN, Spears said, "I spoke to someone close to the LSU star. I would say he's in the final stage of prep for the season, and he has passed every benchmark, and he is as healthy as he has ever been since his last year in Philly. Brooklyn has been incredibly supportive, and the plan is for him to be the Nets point guard and primary ball handler this coming season." Aiden, this is just the news we've all been waiting for, is it not?
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely huge. And if you think about it, the Nets have almost played this one perfectly in the fact that they shut Ben down last season. There was a few kind of moans about that, the fact that he obviously was shut down when everyone was wanting to see him on the court. But he obviously wasn't right, and they've made the right decision if he's going to come back for the start of training camp healthy and ready to go. And I think the probably most exciting thing for me on that one has to be the fact that he's obviously, they plan to have him as the next point guard and primary ball handler next season. And for some of the things that Jacque Vaughn said last year about Ben Simmons, how they almost struggled to fit him into the team, I find that really exciting because obviously they've seen something from him that's changed over the summer. And feel that he can go in there and do that role. So, yeah, no, just absolutely buzzing to see him next year. I think he's going to be back to full health. I wouldn't get too excited in terms of him being Philly Ben straight away. But as long as he's healthy and can do the things that we know he can do and it's always been in there, then, yeah, I think that's a real positive.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's the summer and I know everything's always perfect in the summer, but I agree with Andre Bryant in the chat, who's saying he's been rooting for Ben since he got traded, always held out hope for him, so this is great news. Could not agree more. We got Ben Simmons as kind of, obviously got him in the James Harden trade. He was seen as damaged goods in Philly, obviously calling into question his mental health and his physical health. So he's obviously earning a lot of money. So it's one of those where the best thing to do is be patient with him. He had no trade value. You couldn't move him on. No one was going to take that contract from you. So the best thing that the Nets could do is be patient, give him as much time as he wants, give him all the support he wants, and get him hopefully back to where he could be. You know, the last full season he had in the NBA, he was an all-star. And, you know, if he really is as healthy as they say he is, then there's absolutely no reason for him not to pick up where he left off. We're a team that, you know, the expectations are I don't want to say in the toilet, but they're not championship aspirations or expectations. So the world's media will still be there, because I think the media likes to give Ben a bit of a kick in, but I don't think the bright lights of New York are going to be as bright sort of this year, as opposed to if he was coming back with the likes of KD and Kyrie. So I'm buzzing. I think every other Nets fan is buzzing. We kind of touched on this last year, but how much do you think it changes the Nets' ceiling and how much it changes his floor? Do you think there's like a certain amount of wins that a healthy Ben Simmons almost guarantees the Nets if he does come back?
Yeah, I mean, we kind of spoke about it in two ways, that there's a healthy Ben Simmons and then an all-star Ben Simmons. And we, as long as we get a healthy one back, I think we can eventually grow to that level of Ben Simmons. And if you can get there, then it changes things massively. I mean, to have a guy like Ben, who's obviously massively impactful on both ends, and that's obviously from a guy who can't shoot a jump shot, he's still massively impactful on the offensive end because of his distribution, because of how physical he is, because he can obviously get to the rim. And defensively, it opens up just a whole new level of this Brooklyn Nets team, because it gives us so many different options lineup-wise. Shout out to the guys from Locked On Nets, who I was listening to their podcast, and they were talking about how every single lineup they can think of has Ben Simmons in it at the moment, just because of how much he opens up this Nets roster. If you think of guys like Cam Thomas, who, let's be honest, he isn't a good defender, you put Ben Simmons next to him and you can afford to have someone like Cam Thomas in that team, shooting buckets, maybe making the odd flaw defensively. But if you've got big guys like Ben Simmons, Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson there, then you can afford to put someone like that in the lineup. And I would go as far as saying Ben's probably the best defender out of everyone when he is healthy. I think as well, we've seen plenty of Ben Simmons playing for Philly against the Nets. Obviously, we've seen him in that series against the 18-19 Nets when he was probably at one of the best times of his career. And he just plays such intelligent basketball at times. And to have him at that level, you're talking maybe an extra 5 to 10 wins, just because he can save you so many points in the defensive end, but also open up other guys. And I think that's what I'm most excited for, is the fact that we always talk about the spacing on this team could be an absolute nightmare. I see some of the Basketball Boy Genius has put a comment on saying that we need a stretch big like Miles Turner, Brook Lopez. I've always thought that too, but I don't know. I think we could potentially see someone like Nick Claxton flourish next to Ben, just because of how good a distributor of the ball that Ben is. And you might see Claxton get an extra 5 points or so a game, just because of how well he is at, how good he is at passing. Obviously, we see Spencer Dinwiddie last year struggle a bit next to Clax. Maybe Ben Simmons is that answer. So, yeah, I think it's exciting, just the different options that it gives this team. You never know. It could just give us that extra boost to maybe put us in that comfortably in the playoffs next year.
Yeah, would love that. I mean, talking of sort of hit the spacing around him and stuff like that, obviously we've shipped out basically all our shooters, and now it probably falls on the likes of Royce O'Neal and stuff like that, obviously outside the Twins and stuff. But even looking at some of Spencer Dinwiddie's numbers when he was playing alongside Luka in Dallas, like, he can be a spot-up shooter. He can be that spacer that you need. There are basketball minds much smarter than me that can make those decisions. But I think it's just a massive good news day, I think, for Nets fans with Ben coming back. And yeah, I definitely think I want to say this puts us over. If there's a healthy Ben Simmons and the rest of this team, you know, really lives up to this defensive identity we've got, I think we can, you know, push for a playoff berth, I think. But it's still August. It's August the 1st, so let's just wind that back a bit, maybe. It's been a quiet old week other than that in Nets world, so we thought we'd take this opportunity to come up with a new segment for BKT UK called Nets Hot Takes or Not Takes. We've got five statements which we're going to discuss, which are either going to be way off or not too unreasonable. So the first one of these that I want you to rank, if it's realistic or not, is could Nick Claxton get Defensive Player of the Year?
Oof. I'm going to say this one's quite unlikely. And I would love to say otherwise, because I do think Clax is going to take another leap. But I don't think his leap is going to be on the defensive end. I think we've seen what he can do defensively. We did see a bit of a drop-off in Clax's defence last year after the trade deadline. And I think a lot of that was probably down to the fact that he just had an increased defensive role. He was probably second or third scoring option at one point. And I think that responsibility meant that there was a slight drop defensively. I'd say probably the goal for Clats this year should be make the All-NBA defence first team, just because now obviously they've changed it, so it's positionless. So we could have five centres in the one team, who knows. So if he can get somewhere like that, then I think he'll be happy. But I think I'd like to see Nick concentrate on opening up his offensive game and see how we can improve his game there. So I'll say that one's unlikely. What do you think?
Yeah, so last year, Clax was tied for ninth in Defensive Player of the Year voting. And both he and Mikal Bridges got some all-defensive team votes, which is good to see. But yeah, I think you nailed it where it was like the defense is almost going to be such by committee. There's not going to be one standard. He's not going to need to be that defensive anchor. He's going to be sort of obviously still like the switchiest of switchy defenders, and just guarding everyone on ISO. So he's going to have that. Whether or not Ben comes and takes that responsibility off him. Obviously we've got other defensively minded players on this team, which we discussed last week as well. Yeah, I think it would be incredibly unlikely for him to get Defensive Player of the Year, but I think for him to be spoken about in those terms is really cool. And I love that this new kind of defensive identity that the Nets are bringing forward. Another one for a end of year award, Mikal Bridges getting Most Improved Player next year. Finished fourth in MIP voting last year. I think if he was going to have a shot, it probably would have been last year because he kind of exploded and came out of nowhere. But post that Phoenix trade. But what do you think? Do you reckon he's got another good case for it this year?
Yeah, I don't know how the league, what they're going to base it off of. Are they going to base it off of, is he improved from post-trade deadline or his numbers from last year? Because obviously, taking into account his Phoenix numbers, they don't jump off the page, his kind of full year numbers from last year. So I don't know. They may consider it if he comes back and has increased his game at all. But at the same time, it seems to be the fact that Most Improved Player seems to be someone that's really gone from a really small role and increased it massively. Thinking of names like Pascal Siakam. Last year, was it Lauri Markkanen? Did he win it last year? Was it Shai? Yeah. Lauri Markkanen. Yeah, so like these type of guys who have kind of went from a small role to a bigger role, or even just kind of increased their game massively to an all-star level. So we'll wait and see what happens. I think there might be a bit of a time where we see Mikal have a bit of a slight dip in his performances that we saw from the end of last year, just because I think he's obviously going to be the name on the scouting reports that you said. I think you said that either last week or the week before. He is going to be scouted massively. And if we're not going to make any other kind of big moves, which I don't think we will, he's obviously going to be the guy that's going to be getting double teamed at times. And he's going to have to adjust to that. And I think he will. But for the start anyway, I think he may struggle to adjust to that role. So, yeah, I don't know. I think, again, this one's slightly unlikely, but certainly not out of the water completely.
What's more likely, that he gets Most Improved Player or All-Star?
Oh, I'd go All-Star.
Yeah. There's a universe where that happens, I think.
Yeah, for sure. No doubt.
Nice. Next one. So this one has been bandied about a ton. Is this a hot take or not take? Tyler Herro suits up for the Nets this year.
I think this one happens.
Do you reckon?
I generally think this one's going to happen. Just from the talk that there's been, it sounds like the Nets have got the draft capital that they're willing to give up, and that will help that trade from happening. Because there's, I don't know too much about it. I've kind of went off it about a bit because it's just gotten a bit boring and tedious, the whole Dame trade stuff. They just need to make it happen or forget about it now. But I think it's the case that Miami have two picks that they'd like to put into the trade, but they're not allowed to because of the rule where you can't have, you can't trade basically two consecutive picks. So I think the Nets can give one up to Miami, weirdly enough, to then allow them to give those two picks to Portland. So a bit confusing, but I mean, I think we've said it. I think it's, if you can give up one first rounder and some salary that isn't kind of not worth its salary, if you can give that up and a first rounder, then I think the Nets make that move every time, because it does feel we're in that kind of mode now where it's just talent acquisition, where you just bring in as much talent as possible and see what this team can do. I don't think we're far away from seeing the final product at the moment. But someone like Tyler Herro, I generally think that the Nets would bring him in and hope that they can see a leap like Mikal Bridges has done.
Yeah, I think he would absolutely relish it in Brooklyn as well. I think he'd absolutely love it. So there's like, I'm the same as you, where this Dame stuff has just been rolling on for so long. And then obviously the league got involved with the memo that they sent out sort of tail end of last week. But so it has got incredibly boring. But the latest that I've seen on it is that a potential trade offer for Dame Lillard is 3 to 4 first round picks, pick swaps, second round pick, Tyler Herro to a third team, aka the Nets, expiring contracts and young players. So it's like, there's so much. Obviously, probably won't be all of those, but it's I know he's very young and he's good at what he does and stuff, but that, I don't know, I think they're getting done a bit just to get who the man they do want. So it'll be interesting to see how it turns out. And as we always say, like, a trade, the player you get is only as good as the package that you sent out to get him. So hopefully it won't be too crazy. Next one. This is a biggie. The Nets are going to make the playoffs. Is that a hot take or not take?
I don't know. I think for sure right now they're a play-in team, regardless of what happens or not. I think there's a few teams below us in the East that are 100% going to be tanking this year. But I think there's so many factors that come into play. And as you say, it's August 1st and it's so far away from the actual start as to where we'll be. But health-wise, growth-wise, I mean, Ben Simmons getting back to his old self is a huge one. That's a huge one as to where we'll be at the end of the year. We need to see some form of growth from Cam Johnson this year, I think, especially with getting paid the bag. He needs to take his game to a new level. Cam Thomas, Nick Claxton, all huge factors. I generally think there'll probably be one or two of these guys that will come back and surprise us this year. And if they can take that leap, then it certainly puts us on a better position to be a playoff team. I'd say this one, out of all of them, is probably right down the middle as to if it's a hot take or a not take. I don't know. I think what we said last week is the fact that the Nets are kind of a gritty defensive young core that are going to play a lot of games. There's not going to be many guys sitting out. That could push us over the edge. I think right now they're probably in that horrible 6-7-8 gap just now in terms of ranking the East. I've not actually seen where they've placed the Nets in terms of where they think they'll finish so far. Have you?
Yeah, so as of yesterday, the NBA.com released their power rankings for the offseason. They had the Nets at 9th, which is just outside the playoff spots. They've sort of summarized the offseason moves as key departures as their best shooters and key additions as non-applicable. So according to NBA.com, there have been no key additions to this squad whatsoever.
That's harsh.
Which is incredibly harsh. Basically the main thing that they've posed is, can Mikal Bridges become playmaker? I'm not sure that's going to be his role, especially.
It's not relevant, really, is it?
It's not at all, with especially with Simmons coming back, who's obviously, according to reports, going to be having the ball in his hand a ton. After that, it's going to be Spencer Dinwiddie, who's, you know, who averaged almost 10 assists in his time in Brooklyn post-trade. So I'm not sure if that's, you know, just let him get his efficient 26, 27 points, and that's all he's going to, you know, that's going to be his job. Obviously, he's a two-way player, so I don't think he needs to take any of the playmaking responsibility. So if anything, I think we know better than NBA.com on that. I reckon we've got seventh in us, you know, that sets up a date with the second seed, which could be one of Boston or the Bucks, which would be fun again. So, you know, what's not to love on that? But I reckon, yeah, like you, I don't think that's too crazy on this one. But yeah, we shall see. Let us know what you think. And final one, is this a hot take? Ben Simmons is coming right back and making the All-Star team.
Yeah, that's scorching. I don't think we should be expecting Ben Simmons to be an All-Star this year. Stranger things have happened. I mean, if Ben Simmons makes the All-Star game this year, then he's going to win Most Improved Player because wow. I generally think he needs to take that leap to get to back to that level. But yeah, I mean, we are pretty high on Ben after hearing this news, but I think the expectations for Ben are still relatively low until we see him on the court. I've no doubts that the player that made the All-Star game in that Philly team a few years back, he's definitely still in there somewhere. And I think he can get back to that, but I think that's probably going to take at least a couple of years. He's still young. He's got time to get back to that level. But yeah, I'd say that one's probably up there with the least likely to happen this year.
So I'm just looking back at the season where he was last an All-Star, which was the 2020-2021 season. Obviously his last full season in Philly. He only averaged 14-7-7. I say only, but that's not like crazy numbers.
No.
But he was that was the year that Philly finished first in the East. So
defensive player of the year that year. Can I end the rankings for that, wasn't he?
Excellent question. It just goes back to show, like, you got to be a good player on a good team. So I can't find that right now.
I think he was top three. He was third behind Rudy and Draymond.
I mean, he was there or thereabouts. So, like, yeah, I think you got to be a good player on a good team. There's no doubt in my mind he could be a good player and he could get that 14-7-7 again, but the Nets just aren't going to be anywhere good enough for kind of these All-Star nods. But, you know, I think it is also a popularity contest in a funny sort of way. So Ben Simmons has got that kind of, I think he's still got that clout where he would get votes. I'm pushing for it. The week we've had with all this good news, I'm saying Ben Simmons is coming back and making the All-Star team.
Nice, like the confidence.
That's it. So that's all the hot takes and not takes. We'll put those up on social and we'll see what you guys think. But that was cool. We may keep those coming. Lastly, we've got your mailbag. Thanks to everyone that sends questions in. We really do appreciate it. First one comes from Riley in the Discord saying, thoughts on the in-season tournament, how a team like the Nets approaches it, considering we're not NBA championship contenders, but this is an opportunity to make something out of nothing. Obviously, we're two British guys that understand the magic of the cup and some, you know, focusing on these cup runs in football and stuff. From what I've seen on Twitter, I feel like there's a good portion of NBA fans that just don't get it and like don't see the point in it, and you either win a championship or you don't, and that anything else is just a bit Mickey Mouse. I think being the inaugural Commissioner's Cup champions or whatever it's called, the NBA Cup or whatever it is, whatever they've decided to name the thing, would be really cool. But yeah, it's weird. I don't think it's one of those things where, you know, in football where teams would rest their players or play a load of youth team players and only get really involved in the later stages. It's all still regular season games, but they count towards the cup. So I'm not sure it really has the same sort of difference as kind of football competitions do. But back to what you said, I think the Nets are going to be trying to win every single game and play hard on every single game. So the way it drops, it could happen. Yeah, I'd love to win the cup and hoist it up at Barclays. But what do you think?
Yeah, it'd be nice to get a banner up there that isn't like the notorious B.I.G. one, the Jay-Z one and stuff. Nice to actually get one from the Brooklyn era anyway. Yeah, I think it's interesting. I think they approach it like any other game, like you say. I kind of like the idea that if they can get to the Vegas level, where it is elimination games and stuff, that it kind of gives guys more preparation for those type of games down the line, for potential play-in games or playoff games. It's a good experience, if anything. It's going to be really, really interesting just to see how the entire league treats the tournament. And I do think it will be fun. I think it will be successful. It's nice that it kind of splits up the year a bit, having the Vegas tournament. I think you're right. I think the Nets are probably in a good position to go for it, just because they are going to be a scrappy team that will fight for games. We've seen it previously where they've won games, obviously at the back end of last season, where you may not have expected them to win that game, but just because they are those type of guys that will just fight for every possession and try to win games. I think they've got a chance to do well in it. It's going to be one of those where we kind of need to wait till the first season happens to kind of get a full understanding of how it's all going to work. But yeah, I'm excited for it. I think people will grow to love it. And as you say, it's definitely, Adam Silver's taken it from his love of kind of European sport and how that works and the magic of how that works, obviously with the EuroLeague over here and things like that. So yeah, I think it'll be fun. I think the Nets should do all right.
Do you know who our group is? In East C.
I've seen, is it the Celtics, are they in it? Or is it?
Yeah, so it's us along with the Celtics, the Raptors, the Bulls, and the Magic. So that could be a lot worse for us.
For sure.
So I've forgotten how, I should have done a bit of prep on this, but I
forgot how it actually works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, one game against each opponent. Yeah, so eight teams will advance. Basically, you got to win the group, and there's two wild cards from each, the team from each conference with the best record in group play games that finished second in its group. So we got to either win the group or be the next best of the next two. So yeah, you know, we love a complex system in sports, so we'll get our head around it, but it could happen. You know, we shall see. But yeah, I think it does its job, because the Nets aren't going to win a chip this year. But we could win this, so it adds a bit of an extra layer for me, and I'm all in. Then last one, we've got AE5 Salute at Watcher of Basketball on Twitter says, what do you guys expect from Claxton in terms of his offense? Do you think we'll see more shots from further out in comparison to what we saw last year? Funnily enough, today I saw a classic summer workout video of Nick Claxton doing some really nice kind of elbow jumpers, which was interesting. But I did also see from the_bball_index on Twitter, which is a really cool account to follow. just saying how much of an crazy efficient scorer Clax has been. He's in the 98th percentile for effective field goal percentage and true shooting percentage. He's in the 97th percentile of points per shot, points per possession, and points over expectation. So dude's pretty elite when it comes to efficient buckets. And, you know, with hopefully Ben coming back and they can establish some sort of maybe a bit of a pick and pop game. It can't be any worse than some of the lobs that Spencer was chucking. Clax's way. He still managed to get some decent numbers, even though that was happening. But I don't think he, you know, it's always great if he wants to, it would be great if he started shooting threes or stuff, but I don't think it's needed. I think he, you know, if he just keeps getting the looks he was getting last year, I think he just doesn't tire himself out, so he can still be that two-way player that we love. But yeah, do you think that he will add to his offensive bag, or do you think he needs to?
I think he will, just because he'll want to develop his game in any way that he can. And I think I saw the video that you were on about where he was shooting middies, and it looked relatively smooth and successful. I don't think this is the season where he's going to start shooting threes. I think I've seen videos of him doing that as well, but we saw Rudy Gobert doing that the other day. So it generally in the summer, you just need to take everything with a huge lump of salt. But yeah, I genuinely think he could start hitting middies and stuff. We've seen him hit the kind of improbable shots in the last couple of years where you're like, no way that is that going in. It always seems to get in. And if he starts doing that, then his value and recognition around the league will just go up a ton, because he's already an incredible player with what he brings defensively and how efficient he is getting buckets at the moment. I one thing I will say this year is I do think there's going to be a lot of guys that are going to get the green light, kind of similar to when Kenny Atkinson first took over the Nets. Obviously, Brook Lopez started shooting. I mean, everyone was shooting at one point under Kenny Atkinson. He just kind of was all firing from three. And I think this should be the year where the Nets take some risks in terms of allowing guys to work through getting better. And if Nick can do that, then, as I say, his value just goes sky high, because he's already so efficient. And if he can, even if he could get like 30%, shoot 30% from that area, then that's a huge win for the Nets.
Well, I saw another stat today that says in 9 games with the Long Island Nets in the G League in 2019-2020, Claxton shot 10 of 18 from 3, which is 55%. In 170 NBA games, he's 2 of 14 from 3, which is 14%. Obviously, Lucas Kaplan then quoted that tweet and said that Claxton had arthroscopic labrum repair on his left shoulder following that season, and has spoken about reworking his shot, which has never been the same after that. So yeah, he used to, in a very, very, very small sample size, a very, very, very long time ago, he was knocking down threes. But yeah, I don't think he just doesn't need to be that guy. But yeah, I think you're right with. We're going to get someone's going to light us up from three. You know, could it be Cam Thomas? It's going to be Tyler Herro. So that's also going to be a thing. But that's going to do us for today. Big up to everyone that came in through the chat. Seeing some nice new faces there. Always really appreciated for you guys coming through and chatting to us while we do this. We'll see you same time next week. Yeah, take it easy.